The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWB.
Long Island
Project Independence
and by
is the aging in place
discount card
of the town
you can
of
save money at over 4,000 locations islandwide by visiting shoppersdiscountcard.com.
WCWP is underwritten by Senior Moments, a show about life after retirement, sponsored by the Glen Cove Senior Center and the Sage Foundation.
Senior Moments is now available as a podcast. Search for Senior Moments on your podcast app to hear past episodes and get new ones when they're released.
Support for WCWP comes from the Alfred and Reese Scadelli Foundation, the College of Communications, Art, and Design at LAU Post, and our listeners. To join our family of supporters, visit WCWP.org and click on the Support tab.
The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. And this is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Lohse.
Morning, John.
And Otto has a bit of a raspy voice due to an allergy, unfortunately. But he's still the wonderful Otto.
Oh, yeah.
That's the main thing. And with us on our first segment here this morning is Robert Lang. And Robert is the commissioner of the Solid Waste Management Authority for the town of North Hempstead. And we're going to be talking about recycling. And I'm just going to say unfortunately, but it is unfortunate sometimes because it's one of the most important things you need to do. Plastic and this, that, and the other thing. And it's yet one of those things that people don't understand. And so it's a shame that there's probably 50% of the people think they're doing the right thing. But unfortunately, it's going to wind up just in regular waste because it's not being done correctly. And I've only learned about some of that with the brochure that the town sent out, which is amazing. And it really is just a tip. So, Robert, first of all, thank you so much for taking the time because I know you have a busy schedule.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And my plan is to help have you educate us on, you know, starting from the kitchen. You know, the simplest stuff. I mean, I know straws are a big deal, and it only became recent. And we actually have that in our house. Like, I'm not pushing somebody. It's either Dunkin' Donuts or somebody has the big straw, so we've kept them. Plastic, and my wife rewashes them, and that's the end of it. But there's many things.
Well, single-use plastics is becoming more and more of a challenge, and it's likely to be banned in more and more places right. In the future.
Single-use being... Oh, like those plastic cups and things like that, right.
Or drink containers that you just take out and you dispose of after finishing the drink.
Right.
What do you visualize as the option, that, you know, as we go down the road on that?
I don't know, but I think the manufacturing sector is inventive enough to come up with alternative containers. They've already come up in the city of New York has banned styrofoam.
Right.
And they've already come up with alternative paper-based containers for takeout food.
Which would, again, be one-time usage, though.
One-time use, but it doesn't... But plastics don't degrade.
Right,
To give you an example, we just did some work at the landfill, and we, as part of that, we unearthed things in the landfill, and the only thing that you could recognize other than what looked like soil was plastics. You could read a Pepsi logo on a piece of plastic that was in the landfill for 30, 35 years.
Mm. Not good.
No, I mean, there was a movie I saw. Plastic Paradise, I think the name of it, whatever it was. You know, I had no idea about plastic. You won't look the same 50 years from now, but the same exact amount of plastic that's in this bottle will still exist in different forms. And I'm a member of the Unitarian Universalist Congregation in Shelter Rock, and they went to, and you might correct me if I'm wrong, they went to all natural paper and forks, totally biodegradable. But then there was something in reference to we don't break them down anyway when it's collected. It just goes into a landfill. So it's really like, why bother spending the extra money? Because what we're doing, that's not helping.
Well, it's not injecting plastics into the environment.
Well, the plastic is different.
Plastics are now ubiquitous. They're everywhere. They're in the ocean. They've just found out that plastic microscopic plastic is on every level of the ocean, not just floating on the surface. Wow. Every level that you sample has plastic, microscopic pieces of plastic in it.
That's amazing, which puts it into fish.
And yet, think how long has plastic really been around? It hasn't been around that long.
No,
since Dustin Hoffman.
Yes.
Yeah,
I don't remember. What is that?
In The Graduate.
The Graduate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plastics, my son, get into plastics. Yeah.
One of the biggest challenges we have with people recycling is they don't understand that it's a commodity. What you're setting out at the curb is a commodity. It's part of the, you know, it's part of an environmental program, but it's also part of an overall business system. If what you're setting out is filthy, still contaminated with food and fluids, it can't be recycled, and it may even contaminate other recyclables that people set out perfectly clean. So one of the messages of this brochure is you must empty and rinse things before you set them out. Sometimes we'll have people complain, well, raccoons are getting into my recyclables. Well, they're only getting in there if you're offering them up a meal in your recyclables.
Right. Yeah, they're not big on plastic by itself, I don't think. But this booklet, by the way, I don't know did you get involved with doing this? It's really very thorough and comprehensive.
Yeah, the idea behind this was to try to clarify for people. I've been with the town now, actually, yesterday was my third anniversary. Before that, I was with the City of New York operating New York City's recycling program for 28 years.
Oh, wow.
So I have a lot of experience in this area, but when I came here, I realized there wasn't a lot of public education that was sent out to people about recycling. And recycling is not easy. It's something that for many people, you know, in the busy hustle of your daily life, you don't necessarily have the time to think about it that much. So you need information to keep reminding you of how to properly do it. And this basically addresses all the questions that have come up over the last 3 years for how you set out your garbage as well as how you set out your recyclables.
My question is glass, okay? Now you say everything has to be washed out, but my question is why? Like, the glass is going someplace, it's going to be broken down. Isn't there steam cleaners that'll take care of it anyway? I mean,
no, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
It goes to a processing facility where it gets dumped at the bottom of basically a conveyor belt. The conveyor belt brings it up. From the conveyor belt, depending on the level of technology that's applied to it, sometimes there are things called optical sorters, which can actually spot the glass and take it off, or spot the plastics and take it off, depending on the color and density of them. Other times it's just manually picked off by a human being on the processing line. But the food on the material is a problem because it basically, that food, it doesn't get rinsed in the processing of it. It just gets processed down into the attempt to color sort what you can and keep glass separate from plastics and paper and all the other things that are coming into what's called a material recovery facility. So if you have a pile of processed glass, if it still has food in it, it can attract vermin. It makes it a challenge to market it. Because everything you have to do to a commodity like that means it's costing more.
Right, okay, so it's cost basis. If the technology exists to clean it, it's a different story. But at this point in time,
I personally think in another 50 years, there will be more technology to actually process recyclables in a much more sophisticated way
with
less manual work involved.
That's
hopefully
what I asked you before the show was, like, I always try to visualize what actually happens to this stuff that you put in a pail. You know, I know they throw it on a truck, and then the truck goes somewhere, and then I can picture 100 people hand sorting this stuff.
That is recycling 30 years ago, all hand sorting. The technology has advanced to quite a good degree since then, and it depends on the level of investment the material recovery facility makes. But as I said, there are optical sorters and things like that, magnetized pulls off of the conveyor belt now that happen that enable a lot of it to be automated rather than with manual labor. But it still has a long way to go. I think 50 years from now, we'll be processing garbage instead of just recycling.
Yeah. In your booklet, I have, you know, if I don't know what order we're going to go here, but
however, just you know,
one of the questions.
Actually, there's
I had
so much
was,
to talk about, so it really just. You know,
well,
hit Robert with your best shot.
I'm of the era where I have blue pails for the town of North Hempstead, and the blue pail, one is the paper, one is what I think is supposed to be cans and plastic. And I've read in here a number of options to that, where there are labels that you can decals.
Yeah, we've given
use, or clear plastic bags.
Yeah, traditionally in the town, without. Speaking pejoratively, the town has had a very primitive recycling program. It's allowed people to put out things in a blue can, their bottles and cans, their plastic bottles and glass bottles in a can, and take their paper and just stick it in a brown paper bag and stick it on top. Well, that's problematic, particularly if people don't rinse out their materials and if their paper is not tied properly in that paper bag, it'll blow all over the neighborhood.
Right.
So we're giving people a couple of options. We're giving people the option of, we are no longer giving out the blue pails, but you can get a pail at Home Depot for about $10. We'll give you a decal to slap on both sides. That decal basically reinforces everything you're supposed to do with that material. So it's like the almost like the brochure that's been mailed. It summarizes in graphic form and in text exactly how you're supposed to prepare your recyclables. So we're asking people to put out a can for bottles and cans, that's plastic bottles and jars and glass bottles and jars in one can, and put out their paper in another can. They alternatively, they can also put out their paper, source separated, in a clear plastic bag. Not translucent, but clear.
Right.
And they can also do that with their bottles and cans.
So basically, I could eliminate, for just talking selfishly here, the need to schlep the can out to the street.
Yes.
I can use a clear plastic bag, and then I don't have to worry about bringing the can out or bringing the can back.
Yeah, and let me explain what that comes out of. That comes out of working almost 30 years in the recycling business and spending, while I work for the City of New York, millions of dollars on public education, research, market research, to find out what are the biggest challenges to people recycling. One of the biggest is tying and bundling. Most people don't want to tie and bundle their newspaper. If you allow, the other thing is a lot of people don't like putting a can out at the end of their driveway, and that can basically advertises they're not home once it's emptied for the rest of the day. So a lot of people would like to put out in a clear bag instead. The collection workers come by, they pick it up, it's gone. There's nothing to see for the rest of the day.
I just have, and this, I apologize because this is like a stupid question. Clear plastic, like the plastic on that sign over there. Nothing?
Yes.
100%.
Exactly.
Okay.
100% clear, yes.
Now, are they, you buy them someplace?
Yes, they're available at Home Depot and Lowe's and most Ace and Star hardware stores.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm thinking, like, maybe you could put it in the can. Yeah,
you can also line.
You can't really hold a plastic bag. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, you can line your can with a plastic bag if you want.
And then just pull the bag out.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
That's not a bad idea. Actually, I don't even have blue. I have green. I have them from Suffolk County, and I live in North Hempstead.
It's all right. You can take the labels and just put them on either side.
Yeah,
of that.
No, I mean, I don't even know where they came from. And for 5 years, I keep saying I'm going to go and pick up a new one. I was like, it's working. And my wife does that. Dude, papers in one, and it's every. And they take it. You can see what it is.
Yes.
So no matter what the color, they understand.
Well, I've heard seniors say at Project Independence meetings that they wanted to get a blue can with wheels because the paper got too heavy or whatever. And what we're saying here is you don't need a can with wheels because you can use a clear plastic bag. And you don't have to stuff it to the gills. You can do it gradually, if you will.
You're supposed to not put anything out that's beyond 50 pounds.
Oh.
But I assume most people are not going to stuff it with more than 50 pounds.
That's a lot of paper.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, paper is honestly disappearing from the waste stream. I can tell you as a former New Yorker, when I traveled the subway 30 years ago, everybody's face was buried in a newspaper.
Nope.
Now everybody's face is buried in a cell phone.
Yeah, but I will tell you that I sometimes get 3 or 4 advertisements from cruise companies a day.
Oh, yeah.
And they're thick, expensive, glossy brochures. I have no idea how they pay for it.
I'm actually going to put you both on hold because we have to take a break. You'll come back with your cruise packages. We are listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.
I agree with you.